defending the truth of the gospel because truth matters. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Your host for the Bible Answer Man is Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. To join us on air to ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. And now, here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. My apologies to all of those who are already hanging on to have their questions answered. We're going to spend a little time on the broadcast before we get to your questions, talking to Sandra Tanner about the whole issue of Mormonism. And before we get to even that, I want to mention an article in USA Today, read it this morning. It's by Stephen Mansfield, who says that while Americans face the possibility that their next president may be a Mormon, most admit to knowing almost nothing about the religion. A Brookings Institution study reported in May that 82% of respondents knew little or nothing about Mormonism. And this is one of the reasons that we're offering all this month a Mormon president. Mormonism is the largest American-born religion in the world. And this is, when Mormonism is in the spotlight, a tremendous opportunity to communicate what Mormonism represents, to contrast Mormonism with historic Christian orthodoxy. As concerned as we may be respecting who is elected as president, we should be far more concerned about the eternal destiny of those trapped within an American-born religion that denies the essentials of the historic Christian faith. We should never forget that while we as Christians believe that we're going to stand before God dressed in the spotless robes of Christ's righteousness, Mormons contend that they will appear before Heavenly Father dressed in fig leaf aprons, holding good works in their hands. And according to what Mormonism teaches, virtually everyone qualifies for heaven. We're going to talk to Sandra about this in just a moment, but they have a telestial heaven, a terrestrial heaven, and a celestial heaven. Gerald and Sandra Tanner were raised in the LDS faith, and they have a strong Mormon family history. Gerald, who has already gone home to be with the Lord, is the great-great-grandson of John Tanner, well known for his sizable financial contributions to Joseph Smith and the LDS Church in 1835 when the church was deeply in debt, a situation that has been substantially changed. Sandra Tanner is the great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young, the second president of the Mormon Church. Together, they are authors of over 40 books on the subject of Mormonism. In other words, they understand this subject very well. Sandra Tanner is well known for her extensive research into Mormon history and doctrine. And her ministry, Utah Lighthouse Ministry, provides books and research as well as photocopies and reprints of original Mormon documents to the public. And we've had Sandra on the air before, and as always, appreciate her contribution. Sandra, good to have you back.
Yes, thank you. Good to be with you.
What do you make of this this documentary film that we're promoting, A Mormon President?
Well, it's a very fair treatment of looking at when Joseph Smith ran for president of the United States back in 1844. And many of the people interviewed in the film are actually Mormon historians. So this isn't something that was put together as a, a Mormon would say anti-Mormon. I don't like the use of the word anti because I think it implies to people that we're opposed to the people. But it is not written to put down the Mormon religion. It's just a study on Joseph Smith's run for president? Why did he run? What was he hoping to accomplish? And why didn't it work? Of course, the reason it didn't work is because he was shot while he was in jail on a matter of he had destroyed a printing press that was printing a newspaper exposing his secret polygamy and secret political Kingdom of God ideas. But the film itself is a very balanced, good introduction to see the mind of Joseph Smith.
I'm going to have Dinesh D'Souza, who did 2016 on the broadcast sometime probably early October. So this is not about who you vote for, but it is an opportunity when something is front and center in the news to use that opportunity to communicate the truth and grace, love and life that only Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of Christianity, can bring to the human heart. And that's a question I have for you, Sandra. A lot of pushback here at the Christian Research Institute for even offering a Mormon president to our constituency, reason being that a lot of people see this as one way or other swaying an election, and they seem more concerned about who gets elected than what our principal concern is, and that is to take those who are trapped in Mormonism and allow them to understand the difference between what they believe and what the truth is as expressed in Scripture.
Yeah, I think this situation with a Mormon running for president opens chances of conversation with our Mormon friends or family that maybe otherwise wouldn't have been able to bring the topic up about religion. And so I think people should see this as opening doors of conversations that you have a chance to say something about the man's religion. Well, we should understand what he stands for, and it's people try to make issues about a religious test for president. This has nothing to do with that. We need to understand what Mormonism is about, regardless of who's running for any office, simply because it represents such a big missionary force in the world today. People need to be prepared to explain why they don't accept Mormonism as standard Christianity. And Mormonism is very different than standard Christianity.
I started mentioning this at the opening of the broadcast, but speak to this issue about the Mormon heavens. We think about absent from the body, present with the Lord. We believe that when Jesus appears a second time, the universe will be restored. We ourselves will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, and then we will forever be with a resurrected Christ in a restored universe. Mormons have a completely different concept of eternity.
Yes, but you have to go back earlier than just what's going to happen when we die. To understand the Mormon view of heaven, you have to understand they believe that God, men, angels, devils are all the same species. And so God wants, they feel, once went through an earth life like we're doing now, was a human on a world, married, all those things, died, was resurrected, went to heaven. We don't know how long it takes to arrive at the status of a God, but our Heavenly Father went through this process, and so he is now trying to put his own children on the same path to achieve godhood as he did, and this leads into why they have different levels in heaven. Because they believe that if you don't accept Mormonism, you can still go to heaven, but you wouldn't go to the top level where the Mormons expect to go. So that if you were a Hindu and a moral person, a Muslim and a moral person, or a Baptist or Greek Orthodox and you're a moral person, you would go to the middle level, they call the terrestrial level. Bad people go to the bottom level, but still have salvation in heaven. But they differentiate salvation from eternal life. And the top level of heaven that the Mormon wants is called the celestial kingdom. That is only for Mormons. And the goal to get into that kingdom is that you could hopefully progress to eventually become a God running your own world like our Heavenly Father is. So they don't believe God's always been God. He had a beginning as a human and progressed to godhood. And you, as a male, would have the chance to become a god someday. I, as a woman, could never be a god. I could be the helpmeet to a god, but I don't have any power in running the world. The husband's always one that's going to hear the prayers and answer people's petitions. But this is a totally separate worldview than what Christians are talking about, where there is the Christian has a God that's eternally been God. He's never been less than he is today. And the hope is that we as his creation come to him for grace, and then God grants us the privilege of being in his presence for all eternity, but it's his grace, not anything we're doing. We have nothing to add to the equation. That's why Christ had to die. We had nothing to offer.
Talk about what it takes to get to the third level of the celestial kingdom.
Yes, the Mormon heaven's pretty complicated. So they have this celestial, bottom level, bad people, terrestrial, good people, but not Mormon. Celestial kingdoms, where the good Mormons go, well, any Mormon goes, but then it's divided into three levels. And the only Mormon that gets to the top of the celestial kingdom are the ones that have been through the Mormon temple, hold the Mormon Melchizedek priesthood, pay their tithing to the church, keep the word of wisdom, which is their health code, no tea, coffee, tobacco, alcohol, and live a good Mormon life, do all your Mormon callings, and strive all your life to live a godly life, then you hope that eventually you will get that top level of celestial kingdom, which will mean you will eventually arrive at godhood, at which point the man and his wife will go off somewhere and start having born to them X billion number of spirit children. We don't know how many it takes. Born to them, literally, this husband and wife will have born to them all of these billions of spirit babies that will someday be sent to their earth to become humans and to go through the process of human life to die, resurrect, and then be assigned some level of heaven. So this whole thing is, you have this eternal progression, you have this eternal parade of gods. Every god's got a mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, in-laws, everything, and your children in the future could become a god, and brothers that would become gods, and fathers and uncles that may become gods.
A couple of things here. One, the statistic that I read at the opening of the broadcast, that 82% of respondents to a Brookings Institution study reported that they knew little or nothing about Mormonism. I think that is particularly fascinating in light of the fact that you, the Christian Research Institute, and other organizations have spent so much time informing the public of what Mormonism is, and it shows that there's still a great job to be done, and it shows the importance of seizing this opportunity.
That's right, and the Mormon Church spends huge amounts of money on a public relations firm to help them market the Mormon image. And so in public, the Mormons are always saying, well, we're Christians like you, we just have more. And that's the thing that should raise the red flag. What is the more they're talking about? But it isn't Christianity like we're talking about, because their God's totally different than we're talking about. Jesus is different. If you're going to say Jesus is my brother, and we were equal creations in a prior earth life, and Jesus just excelled more than me, that's not the Jesus I read about in the Bible. And when they say we believe in salvation through Christ, you have to understand how they've redefined the words. Salvation is redefined to mean resurrection, that everyone will get resurrected, meaning saved by grace, but in their mind, eternal life is a whole different thing. Christians need to take the time to find out the basic differences in the Mormon view of God and salvation. They need to be witnessing and talking to their Mormon friends and acquaintances about what is the basis for eternal life. And if you don't understand the Mormons redefining of the terms, you aren't going to make headway in a conversation.
Talking to Sandra Tanner, who is the great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young, the second president of the Mormon Church. We're going to be back on the other side of the break with more from Sandra Tanner. Do want to mention what we are offering all this month, which is in essence a documentary that is very informative, because few people in American history have been as loved or hated as the Mormon prophet who was assassinated by an angry mob after announcing his run for U.S. presidency in 1844. And in this documentary, through dramatic reenactments and interviews with top historical experts, you see a fascinating life and death story of the Mormon leader who built the largest American-born religion in the world. Back with Sandra Tanner in just a few moments. Also, we'll be taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As always, the number to dial Monday through Friday at this time, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Check out the documentary on the World Wide Web at equip.org.
Few people know the story of Joseph Smith's quest to be our first Mormon president, or the secrets behind his rise to power. Learn the truth with the DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. Our gift to you when you support more Bible Answer Man broadcasts with your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you two additional resources sharing the truth of Mormon theology. Simply call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give today. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast right after this. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Did the prophet Daniel predict a seven-year Great Tribulation period? The answer to that question is yes. But the next question is, when did or when will this Great Tribulation take place? Hank Hanegraaff answers this question in a feature-length Ask Hank column. Other topics include surmounting cultural barriers and presenting the gospel to Muslims, defending Christianity in the marketplace of ideas like the Apostle Paul, addressing the emotional problem of evil, evolution's Achilles heel, Kierkegaard and U2 on authentic love, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem, and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days, and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity. The Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flipchart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth in love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The Christian Research Institute is a ministry dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and our website, equip.org. But to continue this vital mission, we depend on your faithful, prayerful support.
I just want to say, first of all, thank you and bless you in your ministry. You are doing something that is so unique and needed, and I hope you have years and years and years more to go, because it is amazing what you're doing.
If you see the life-changing impact this ministry is having, please join with us on a consistent monthly basis so that we can continue to equip believers with the tools to stand firm in their faith and reach around the world with the transforming power of the gospel. To partner with us on a monthly basis, call 888-7000-274 or go online to equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. At the opening of the broadcast, I was talking about the article in USA Today titled Mormonism's American Values, an article by Stephen Mansfield that points out that while Americans face the possibility that the next president might be a Mormon, most admit to knowing almost nothing about the religion. And yet, as Stephen Mansfield goes on to say, Mormonism carries within it a spiritual vision of the United States of America and its meaning in the world. Most Mormons believe, the article says, that the nation is divinely ordained, that the Constitution was drafted under divine guidance, and that the U.S. will play a predestined role during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. These beliefs, combined with the Mormon commitment to honor God by enduring hardship, leading and serving society, have over time made the saints into champions of the American vision. As foreign as Mormonism is to most Americans, it could be the most distinctly American of any religion. But as Mansfield says, the larger question is whether such a faith can lift a president to greatness. We cannot know with certainty until a Mormon sits in the White House, but given what Mormons believe, it is least a possibility. Those are the comments again of Stephen Mansfield in USA Today, the article titled Mormonism's American Values. We're talking to Sandra Tanner today. She is the great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young, second president of the Mormon Church, and her ministry, Utah Lighthouse Ministry, provides books and research as well as photocopies and reprints of original Mormon documents to the public. Sandra Tanner has been a stalwart defender of the historic Christian faith and someone who, with great careful research, has communicated over a long span of time what Mormonism believes and why they believe it. And therefore, I think it's very helpful to hear from Sandra Tanner in terms of what Mormonism really is and what it pretends for the future. Sandra, as we talk about Mormonism, a lot of people fail to recognize that it is not just another Christian denomination. I find it startling that good friends of mine in the evangelical Christian world see Mormonism as just slightly different, but mostly the same. That, however, is hardly true.
That's right. And people need to understand that Mormonism is not just claiming to be another church. They're claiming to be the only true church. And Joseph Smith claims that at the beginning of in his teen years before he started Mormonism, that he went out in the woods to pray to ask God which church to join, and he claimed that God and Jesus appeared to him and told him that this is a quote from their Pearl of Great Price, one of their books of scripture, and Joseph Smith recounts his experience. He said, "I was answered that I must join none of them, for they were all wrong." That means all the churches, all wrong. "And the personage who addressed me said that all their creeds were an abomination in his sight, that those professors were all corrupt, that they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They teach for doctrines the commandments of men, having a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. He again forbade me to join any of them. So you have with Mormonism this claim of Joseph Smith that God himself told him all other churches were an abomination to him and that their creeds were corrupt. So it isn't just saying we're a little better than the Baptist or Presbyterian church down the street. It's saying we're the only ones that speak for God. That's why they claim to have a living prophet at the head of their church, because they believe he's just like Moses. He can speak for God and give new scripture. And for the Christian, they say, well, on what basis would we accept your claims? Because Joseph's doctrines is going to rewrite all of the Christian belief system, and the only backup he has is that he claims God told him. For the Christian, we judge other people claiming to speak for God by what the Bible says. Mormonism works on the opposite direction. It judges the Bible and everyone else by what Joseph Smith said. So that's the difference in the authority claims of the two.
You have a strong Mormon family history, so you in no way are demonizing Mormon people. I think it's important to point out that you are showing the difference clearly and concisely between Orthodox Christianity and that which is pretended to be Christianity on the part of the Mormon Church. The reason I bring this up is a lot of people, Sandra, ask me the question, how could such incredibly intelligent people like Mitt Romney and others accept a Mormonism that seems to have no basis whatsoever in reality? I mean, you can look at it from an archaeological perspective. You can look at it from the perspective of anthropology. Mormonism simply does not correspond to reality. And yet, very intelligent, brilliant people are involved in that movement.
Well, first off, you have to understand that, for instance, with Mitt Romney, this was something he was born and raised in. It wasn't something he made a choice for. As myself and Gerald, we were raised in a Mormon culture. That was the worldview we were raised to see and believe. And so you just grow up accepting all of these different claims. As you grow up in Mormonism, you are also taught that the Bible is only trustworthy as far as it's translated correctly, but that Joseph Smith's scriptures are fully acceptable. When you all your life have the Bible downgraded as suspect in whether it correctly portrays the doctrines of God, then where is the Mormon going to go to determine truth? He's only got Joseph Smith's words to determine truth, and so what a Christian says to a Mormon is discounted because, oh, well, you're using one of those inferior Bibles. We have a better revelation of God's will through our prophets. So if you only judge Mormonism by what their prophets and public relations firms puts out, then it sounds pretty good. Mormonism has an appeal because it doesn't have an eternal hell in a Christian sense. And so many people are drawn to Mormonism by this idea, oh, my great-great-grandpa, who is an atheist, well, I can go to the temple and get baptized and married for him and grandma, and they'll have a second chance and be able to become Mormons. So it has an appeal of a greater expansive idea than Christianity. But the question is it what God said? Not whether it appeals to you more. It has to be on the basis of what has God said? How do we know that we have eternal life? The Mormon is not basing it on the Bible. They're basing it on the word of Joseph Smith.
A lot of people hanging on, wanting to talk to you. Jim in Bakersfield, California. You're on with Sandra Tanner. Hi, Jim.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I want to thank you for taking my call. And been a long-time listener, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you.
In light of what our choices are this election, we have, of course, Mitt Romney, who is a Mormon, and as far as I'm concerned, as a Christian, theologically, is not supporting the Christian faith. And then we have somebody as Barack Obama, who claims to be a Christian, but however supports abortion, the desecration of the meaning of marriage, and the gay and lesbian lifestyle, in my point of view, I'm left with a decision to make as to, based on my core Christian values, I would have to revert back to what I know God's Word says about the important things of our Christian faith and vote based on that. And then as far as the policies go, that's all about health and welfare. And if we have our faith in the right spot, God promises to take care of that.
So your question is what?
Well, how would you address people that would call in and are in the dilemma of, okay, do I vote for a Mormon man, or do I vote for somebody that I'm not sure what he is or what he supports? I'm not sure what your guys' point is today.
Well, I'm interested in Sandra's opinion on this, but do want to say as prologue to her answer that we do have an article on the web at equip.org titled, Is It Permissible for a Christian to Vote for a Mormon? By Francis Beckwith. I think it's a very instructive article, but the bottom line from my perspective is absolutely. I mean, you have to make the best of the available choices that you have. And you need to prayerfully, thoughtfully, within the perspective of thinking Christianly, make a decision based on, again, the converging factors. Therefore, we have to do our homework. And if the Mormon turns out to be the best choice, that's the choice we should make. Now, obviously, as president of 501c3, nonprofit organization, I can't answer the question who to vote for, but I do think it's important that we seize this opportunity. But with that as prologue, Sandra, your perspective.
Okay, first off, I want to clear up. I have voted for Mormons. I live in Utah. Practically everyone that runs for office in the state of Utah is Mormon. So it's not a matter of me saying no one should ever vote for a Mormon. I've voted for Mormons. As far as the two men running for office, I don't know that either one would be classified as a born-again Christian. I think they both have some heretical concepts of Christianity. I think Mitt Romney is probably a very patriotic man, and I assume Obama is too in whatever way he defines it. But so it isn't a matter of saying that either man is bad. It's a matter of your personal choices on the political platform of the two men. But I don't think that, I mean, I'm not saying you can't vote for a Mormon, because I have voted for Mormons. But if we have a Mormon president, I think it's important that people do not see this as a stamp of approval on his religion. There is a difference in Mormonism from standard Christianity, and my big concern would be that if we had a Mormon president, that it would be a legitimizing in a lot of people's eyes that Mormonism is the same as being Baptist, Presbyterian, or Methodist, and it is very different.
And we can see this as a great opportunity. As concerned as we may be respecting who is elected as president, we should be far more concerned about the eternal destiny of those trapped within an American-born religion that denies the essentials of the historic Christian faith. We have a great documentary available. You can order it for your gift. It's called A Mormon President. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Right back with more insight and answers to your questions from Sandra Tanner.
The Christian Research Institute's website, equip.org, is loaded with free resources you can download anytime. Do a keyword search and find a host of articles on your topic. Listen to a 3-minute Ask Hank program. Watch videos, order books, or stream the Bible Answer Man broadcast right on your computer. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or connect with us by signing up for our e-newsletter. If you're looking for a place to sharpen your discernment skills, log on to equip.org today. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will be right back.
For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity. The Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flipchart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth and love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless processes, or created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work, and even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. That's why we want to send you a copy of Hank's Creation Answer Book in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. The Creation Answer Book puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Your gift is important, supporting more of the broadcast and resources that have changed your life. So please give today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. That's equip.org. And let us rush you your copy of the Creation Answer Book. Thank you for your partnership. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. When Christians serve the Lord in Muslim-majority nations, it is expected that they take on some of their host culture's behavior to help reduce barriers to people hearing the gospel. As the Apostle Paul said, we must learn how to be all things to all people, that by all means we might save some. Other topics include, is dispensationalism indispensable? Could environmentalism become a global religion? To defend marriage, we should learn a lesson from apologetics, plus a feature-length Ask Hank column and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can learn a lot about a religion by studying its founder. And when we study Joseph Smith, his difference from Jesus Christ couldn't be more striking. When you partner with us in ministry through a gift today, we'll send you the revealing DVD, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you two additional resources exposing Mormonism's theological deviations from Christianity. Get equipped. Go online now to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Thank you. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. A quick heads up before we go back to Sandra Tanner. I'm going to be in San Bruno, California, just 20 minutes outside of San Francisco Airport, September 14th through the 16th at the Church of the Highlands. If you want more information, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or you can check the church website, which is churchofthehighlands.org. Again, September 14th through the 16th, so later on this week, I'll be in San Bruno, California. Love to see you there. Also want to mention, once again, A Mormon President, Joseph Smith and the Mormon Quest for the White House, a revealing documentary. I think we ought to be seizing the moment to equip ourselves as Christians to use truth as an opportunity to reach people. Again, as interested as we are in the presidential election, we are far more interested in something else, and that is reaching people with truth. And with the spotlight on Mormonism, it gives us an opportunity, once again as Christians, to learn to exercise discernment skills so that we can discern between wheat and chaff, heat and light. Talking today to Sandra Tanner. And by the way, I'm going to stay in studio for an extra hour once we go off the air today, and I'll continue taking calls. I'll record my answers to your questions, and we'll play that on one of the days I'm traveling. So if you're hanging on, please bear with me. We'll try to get to you either in this next segment that's unfolding right now or after the broadcast. Again, I'll be here for an extra hour once we go off the air. Again, we're talking to Sandra Tanner. She was raised in the LDS faith, has strong Mormon family history and ties. She is the great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young, second president of the Mormon Church. She understands Mormonism from the inside out and has been very concerned to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Sandra, I think we want to underscore that once again. We're talking about Mormonism, but more than that, we're talking about a real opportunity to reach people.
Absolutely. With all the discussion of Romney and Mormonism and those kind of issues, it opens doors for us to be able to witness to our Mormon friends or relatives, since the subject's already out there, and we can do that by just engaging them on what are the basic differences between Mormonism and Christianity. Has God always been God? Did Christ fully pay for our atonement on the cross? Is our eternal life solely through the merits of Christ? Or is it our own efforts and temple ritual that secures eternal life? It gives us a chance of engaging someone in conversation on doctrinal issues that maybe otherwise they wouldn't be willing to talk about.
The real issue, I think, Sandra, may well be, what is your authority? We say, as those who are part of evangelical Christianity, that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. Mormons have a quad. Give people an idea of what that entails.
All right. The Mormons view as Scripture the Bible, which they put a qualifier on only as far as it's translated correctly. But beyond the Bible, they have the Book of Mormon, which is supposedly the history of some Jewish people that came to the Americas at approximately 600 BC at God's direction, and God set up a whole new nation of Israel, so to speak, here in the Americas, and Jesus supposedly came and visited these people right after his crucifixion. And so it becomes almost something that takes the place of the Bible in their thinking, so that they are encouraged all the time to read the Book of Mormon rather than read the Bible. Now, they're not told not to read the Bible, but the Book of Mormon is what's stressed. So you have that book of Scripture, but there's no historical evidence that these people ever existed, just Joseph Smith's revelation of this book. But beyond those two books, they have for Scripture what they call the Doctrine and Covenants. The Doctrine and Covenants is Joseph Smith's revelations through the years as he led the Mormon Church, and as his doctrine changed through the years and he got new teachings, they would be canonized in his book of Doctrine and Covenants. And their fourth book of Scripture is called The Pearl of Great Price. This has Joseph Smith's two revelations of supposedly Moses' account of creation and Abraham's account of creation. Then there is a part of his Bible revision of the part of Matthew. And then in The Pearl of Great Price, there's also a back section which has the history of Joseph Smith and his early life, how he started Mormonism. So that's their four books of Scripture. But the three books that Joseph Smith produced always take precedent over the Bible, so that they don't use the Bible as the ultimate test of what's true. It's only believed as far as it agrees with Joseph's other three books of Scripture.
What's interesting about this, you mentioned the word revelations, and revelation hasn't ceased because Mormon theology is evolving. And so you have revelators in the Mormon church in the present who are giving new divine revelation that oftentimes contradicts that which has been previously given.
Yes, well, you have, for instance, the problem of the blacks receiving the priesthood all through Brigham Young and future prophets after that for over 100 years. You had the Mormon prophets all saying that people of African descent, blacks, could not hold the priesthood in Mormonism, which meant they couldn't go to the temple, which meant they would be barred from becoming gods eventually. Then in 1978, the president of the church at that time received a revelation that then they could give priesthood to blacks. The problem being that all the prophets before 1978 had said the blacks wouldn't get the priesthood until the millennium. And so when they gave the priesthood to them in 78, it was a complete reversal of all the prophet statements before that. But in Mormonism, they don't have a problem with that. They don't have a problem in a prophet reversing himself on something that was established very strongly before. The same with polygamy. Polygamy was brought into Mormonism as a doctrine, not just a practice. It was a doctrine. And yet then in 1890, a prophet says, okay, we got to stop living polygamy because everyone's getting arrested. The United States is coming after us, so we got to quit living polygamy. But a prophet in the future could turn around and say, okay, now we get to live it. There is no checks and balance in the system. A prophet could reverse anything tomorrow.
Yeah, when we talk about Mormonism being an American-born religion, the largest American-born religion in the world, as the documentary A Mormon President, which we're offering right now, and you can see it on equip.org, when you think about that, think about the fact that Joseph Smith believed that America was very significant in God's economy, and Mitt Romney has actually said as much. He said, for example, when he was running last for president, that Jesus Christ will reign from two places, that the law will come forth from one place in Missouri, the other will be in Jerusalem. Kind of interesting to see how everything has been, in some sense, Americanized.
Oh, well, it goes even further than that. Joseph Smith taught that the Garden of Eden was in Missouri. And so when Christ comes back, he's coming back to Missouri, because that's where the whole story started out. So they completely changed the first seven chapters of Genesis by making them happen in Missouri. And so when Noah gets on the ark, he sails down the Mississippi into the Gulf to take his journey. So it really is Americanized to a degree that most people don't even understand, that they even place the Garden of Eden here in the Americas. Then they believe that in the end time, Jesus will come back to Independence, Missouri area and establish Zion. So they take Zion, when they read about Zion in the Old Testament, they take Zion to mean Missouri. And then there's Jerusalem in the Old World in Israel. And so they believe Christ will have headquarters in Zion in Missouri and in Jerusalem, but he will rule from Missouri, and that the Mormon church priesthood will rule the world under Christ during the millennial reign.
Talking to Sandra Tanner, she's the great-great-granddaughter of Brigham Young, second president of the Mormon church. She's devoted the better part of her life to studying Mormonism. She was raised in Mormonism, so she knows Mormonism from the inside out. We're discussing A Mormon President as well, which is the DVD that we're making available for your gift all this month. We started talking about this, Sandra, at the beginning of the broadcast. It's not a hit piece on the one hand, but it's not a puff piece on the other. Give us a perspective of what people get when they watch this documentary.
Well, the man that put the video together went out and interviewed different Mormon historians to get their synopsis or overview of Joseph Smith and his political aspirations and when he actually was running for president. And he actually got about 200 or more men, might have been 300, missionaries to go out and stump for him around the country. It was a serious effort to try to become president of the United States. So they interview actual Mormon historians, then there are a few non-Mormons interviewed as well as a counterbalance, but it is a very fair treatment of trying to show the viewpoint of Mormonism on America and Joseph's, highlighting Joseph's life so that you have a better understanding of who the man was that started Mormonism.
As mentioned at the beginning of the broadcast, I'm going to stay in the studio for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I will get to you in the very near future. And if you're dialing in, you can call this number for the next hour. I will continue taking calls for another hour once we go off the air in just a minute or so. The number to dial right now, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. Sandra Tanner, as always, great to have you on the broadcast. Your ministry, Utah Lighthouse Ministry, it is an extraordinary source for well-documented information on Mormonism. And as always, we appreciate your perspective.
Right. Well, it's been good to be with you. And I have a website, so if people just go to the internet and look up sandratanner.org, they'll find our Utah Lighthouse webpage.
Sandra Tanner.
SandraTanner.org.
SandraTanner.org on the World Wide Web. Sandra, thank you again.
Okay.
Look forward to talking to you in the near future. Again, as mentioned, we'll stay in studio for an extra hour once we go off the air. Continue taking your calls right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I'll answer your questions. I'll record my answers to your questions, and we'll play that on a future edition when I'm traveling. A future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember once again a Mormon president, Joseph Smith, and the Mormon quest for the White House, a DVD, a documentary available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Remember, we ought to always be prepared to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. Check it out again, the World Wide Web at equip.org. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer difficult Bible questions, and strengthen believers in their walk with the Lord. To find resources to help equip you, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Feel free to write us also at CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters.
The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is, the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near.
Imagine a letter that could tell your future. Written in code. Deciphering it could set you free. What's inside reveals the truth about the end of the world, but possessing it could kill you. The Last Disciple by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Available from CRI by calling 888-7000-CRI or by ordering directly from our website at www.equip.org.
For decades, Mormon leadership has made a concerted effort to win over Americans by making it appear Mormons hold the same basic tenets as Christians. That's why Hank has taken the actual teachings of Mormons themselves and distilled them into an important resource to help you grasp the essential doctrinal differences between Mormonism and Christianity. The Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage Flip Chart. Through the memorable acronym MORMON, you'll learn how Mormon leaders have redefined Christian terms so they can sound like they're agreeing with us, but mean something entirely different. But more importantly, you'll be equipped to use the deviations to share the truth and love with Mormons as God provides opportunities. Order Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI.
or go online to equip.org.